State Chapter in San Quentin. Ladies and gentlemen, it is with extreme pleasure that I have accepted your invitation of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's an honor to be a part of the pioneer meeting and the opportunity is mine really to renew old friendships and to gain new friends. Also, I am happy to pay public tribute to the splendid work done by the men and women of AA. A work that has mushroomed from a small and humble beginning to a movement of great significance and international importance. Today, I bring you greetings from the hundreds of members of AA Fellowship of San Quentin Prison and other institutions under the Department of Corrections in California. Like many another inmate alcoholic, each of them is working in AA with the desire for finding a new hope and guidance for their today and for the tomorrows that await them beyond prison gates. Perhaps AA is just a little more meaningful to the members than it is to most of you who are on the outside. Their addiction has contributed to their imprisonment and the heartaches and personal losses which go hand in hand with penal servitude. The AA program in San Quentin not only offers its members freedom from the distress of alcoholism, it offers them insurance as well as assurance that future years not necessarily be spent behind walls of prison stone and public indifference. I do not come to you here today to speak as an authority on alcohol. Its causes are its cures. There are those of us appearing before the meetings better qualified to discuss the technical aspects of alcohol than myself. Rather, I came to speak as a prison warden who has seen the result excessive drinking imposes upon men in its most extreme instances, and to tell you the progress we have made in helping these unfortunates back to the road of sobriety, personal, and social success. In prison, we have a name for this program of guidance. We call it rehabilitation. And credit for whatever success we have achieved, in many instances, belongs to Alcoholics Anonymous. We at San Quentin are proud of our penitentiary as being pioneers in the first AA program behind prison walls. At the present time, we're the only prison that I know of which has two chapters behind the wall, having recently activated a second group in our Guidance Center clinical unit. The Guidance Center is a department independent of San Quentin, proper, but within the walls of San Quentin, where prisoners are held during a 90-day period of evaluation and while they're in quarantine. The Guidance Center was set up by the Department of Corrections as a testing ground for a new theory of classification, training, and treatment. Here, the new prisoner, after arriving from court, is giving a series of mental, educational, and physical examinations. We try to find out what started him off on the wrong foot. This is done by extensive questioning, examining, and by the prisoner going through a series of tests, and by writing letters to members of his family, to his former employers, his school teachers, and any other available source. It is here at the end of the quarantine program that it is decided what kind of an educational and vocational program will be best for the inmate in the age to rehabilitate him during his incarceration. Here it is decided to what institution he will be sent, because San Quentin is the receiving unit, what his custodial supervision will be, and what his chances for rehabilitation are. At the end of the quarantine period, it is safe to say we know more about the individual than he actually knows about himself. The Guidance Center program gives us a background information on the prisoner that is necessary to start him off on the right foot toward helping him to help himself. Also, we are proud of the fact that many other prisons and reformatories have organized AA chapters, some of them resulting from direct contact with my office after hearing of the program we had placed in operation. In furthering this program and offering aid to other institutions, in the establishment of AA chapters, I have mimeographed copies of the operation of our inmate chapter, and they are available here today in case any of you wish them. We keep a supply on hand in my office for mailing purposes. This outline tells the procedure of establishing an AA chapter in prison and how our chapter is managed. Also, our institutional print shop has published a booklet, which is also available here today for those of you in prison work in case you wish to have some. We're always glad to give the benefits of our experience with AA to other institutional administrators. For in the past 8 years, we have passed through this program, and we have gone through the growing pains of establishing the chapter in an unusual situation. I have watched human derelicts enter the program and become men with a new outlook on life. I can tell you with authority, founded upon years of observation and critical judgment, that AA is a modern miracle of cooperative endeavor. At the time we were considering the introduction of AA at San Quentin, I had been watching the Alcoholics Anonymous program outside with interest for several years. During the time I had worked with the inmates of the prison, I had seen thousands of them enter the front gate as a direct and indirect victim of alcohol. I have sat in on thousands of parole board hearings and have heard a majority of the men say that alcohol was their downfall. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, in a survey that I made one time, twice in fact in the last few years, I found that between 65 and 70% of all the men who came to our California prisons had an alcoholic background. And it was admitted by them that was the thing that caused them to get into trouble. I have watched these same men go out on parole and return again as a result of the same basic causes. Yet nothing seemed to be done for them. No one seemed to know definitely what caused men to drink. No one knew definitely how to help them. At this time, we are inaugurating a new revolutionary program in our California prison. Modern penologists were beginning to look upon criminal behavior as an end result of many causes, and to believe that correction lay within the personality of the individual offender. Therefore, we at San Quentin were going to attempt rehabilitation through individual analysis, study, and training, and do away with the idea that lock them up and throw the key away because that so-and-so had committed a crime in the community. What caused it? What can we do to help? In an effort to study the man and to help him, we would call upon all available sciences and arts. Our institution's files were virtually gold mines of valuable information on how not to run a prison. We knew from looking over the records of the trial and error days of penology that punishment alone was not enough. That it did not stop crime nor cure the criminal. Something more was needed. The new program at San Quentin would include education, vocational training, medicine, psychiatry, and religion. But the alcoholic did not seem to fit completely into this program. Education, training, and all the rest would not help him if the problems which drove him to drink were not solved. And every offender, if were to receive full advantage of the new program, then the alcoholic, too, must receive the assistance and understanding of all available knowledge and procedures. And in line with this new approach to rehabilitation, I looked upon Alcoholics Anonymous as a tool to help us rebuild lives. We were given a green light at first, but the road has not been smooth in the development of AA at San Quentin, or would not be smooth in anybody's prison. But our efforts have not been rewarded manyfold in all instances, and they have been very gratifying in others. Those of you who have helped organize chapters in various communities know of the many problems that confront a new project in AA. Double or triple the obstacles faced under free world conditions, and you'll begin to realize what we were up against. Prison environment, as well as some prison officials, do not readily adapt themselves to new reforms or new ideas. When we first talked of introducing AA inside the prison, many skeptics acclaimed it a useless fad. Others went so far as to predict the new program a dangerous security risk. When I suggested bringing in AA members from the outside world to meet with and counsel our inmate members, many of my associates thought I had gone stir crazy. That, I see most of you know, is a prison slang meaning screwy or nuts. For the benefit of the Square John as president, you know who the Square John is. He's the law-abiding citizen. One official informed me that I couldn't mix anything with nitroglycerin that would go off with a louder bang than the one that would go up from San Quentin if I mixed women AAs with our inmate members at an open meeting. However, at that time, I had been bringing groups of mixed visitors through the prison for more than 2 years, and not once had an inmate made an off-color remark or action in their presence. Also, I felt that if the men were free to discuss their problems with outsiders and could be made to realize that they were not alone in their affliction of alcoholism, a great good could be accomplished. I felt that if they could be made to understand that here, in their presence, were members of society standing ready to help them, their desire for normalcy would become all the greater. I like the AA principle of the members helping each other, and I knew that if our group must work alone without outside assistance, they would still feel as though they were social outcasts, in spite of any progress they may make. Also, it was easy for me to believe that the outside AA members represented the best instructors we could ever hope to find. They had become reformers the hard way, by first reforming themselves before turning to help others. They had been through the mill, so to speak, and they knew what our boys were up against. It was important that I make my associates see that only an alcoholic could recognize and understand the things that make an alcoholic what he is. They and they alone would know the road back, because they had made the hectic journey themselves, both ways. They would know all the pitfalls, all the answers, and they alone could make our prison chapter a savor of authenticity. They alone could make it work with any great degree of success. Word of the formation of the new program went out through the medium of our prison newspaper, the San Quentin News, over the institution's gray network, radio system, and the prison grapevine. All men with alcoholic backgrounds were urged to take part. There were those among our population who had come in contact with Alcoholics Anonymous outside. They had been favorably impressed with the program and were a great help in aiding us to assemble a small group of members. Our shaky start as an active AA chapter promised no hope of any outstanding success. I can truthfully tell you now that had it not been for that regular help and understanding given by our AA members on the outside, we would most assuredly have failed. And by the same token, if it had not been for the persistence of that first group of alcoholic inmates who realized their serious problems and their need for help, we could never have continued beyond the first few meetings. But those men knew they had reached the end of the rope. They knew they could not help themselves, and that they needed the help of others and a power greater than themselves. And after those initial AA meetings, they began to see a glimmer of light, of hope in the newfound program. They grasped at it as the drowning man would clutch at a straw, and they hung on tight. Probably no meeting in the history of AA organizations was ever held under more tense circumstances than that first meeting at San Quentin, which was attended by outside guests. The group of visitors was escorted inside the walls by several uniformed guards and institution officials. When we entered the room where the meeting was to be held, the inmate members were already assembled and seated in one area, and the visitors took chairs around them. The air of tenseness still prevailed, and the first few moments were spent in satisfying mutual curiosity. The visitors, many of them inside a prison for the first time, were naturally awed by the surroundings. And the inmates, many of whom had not seen the free world for more years than they cared to remember, were equally awed by the presence of these men and women in civilian clothing. I was one of the first to address the group. The purpose of my talk was to welcome our visitors, to thank them for their interest in our new program, and to more or less place everyone at ease. I must admit now, ladies and gentlemen, that I achieved a doubtful degree of success. The credit for breaking the ice went to an outside AA member, whose name I don't recall and wouldn't mention if I could. This fellow went to the rostrum with a smile on his face and radiated an air of friendliness. I'll never forget his opening remark. "Fellows," he said, looking over the stiff audience, "before we start talking about Alcoholics Anonymous, I have a confession to make. I want to tell you, but for the grace of a power greater than myself, I would be sitting out there with you today, listening to someone else make this speech. For you see, I am an alcoholic, just like you. I'm one of the guys who knows what it's like to go through those blackout spells where you can't remember where you've been or what happened when you got there. There's been a lot of mornings when you could have told me I killed or robbed someone, and what I've had to take your word for it. There have been plenty of times on the day after a spree that I've answered my doorbell expecting a policeman to be there. Maybe there should have been one, because there are plenty of nights that I don't remember what happened. Alcoholics Anonymous deserves full credit for the difference in the way you entered those front gates and the circumstances under which I came through them today. Alcoholics Anonymous is the only thing that makes it possible for me to leave again this afternoon when the meeting is over. It's a wonderful organization, fellows, and I'm proud to have this opportunity to tell you how it works and what the program has done for me. What I and my friends have to say isn't going to make it possible for you to leave with us, but it may keep you from making a return engagement when the gates do swing the other way for you." The visitor's words worked magic on the group. Here was a man who spoke their language, who had been over the same route they had traveled. Here was a living proof that there was a road back. And here was a man who wanted to be their friend and was willing to give them the answer. You could feel the tension ease in the room. Before the meeting had ended, more than one fledging inmate member had made the trip to the rostrum to tell in faltering sentences the part alcohol had played in his downfall. One after another, visitor and inmate alike, rose to tell of their experiences with alcohol, their problems and desires. And as I watched their faces and listened to their words, I knew that though our visitors would leave San Quentin in a few minutes, the doctrine they brought with them had come to stay. They had given hope to men who lived in a world that no longer contained that ingredient. They had extended the hand of friendship and had offered fellowship to those who thought the world which existed outside their four walls had forgotten them. Men in prison live in one of two eras, either yesterday or tomorrow. And those attending the AA meeting that day had seen a spark of hope kindled on the horizon. They had found assurance that today was the only one that mattered in life, but that living it, according to the AA creed, their tomorrows could be better. When the meeting was over and I watched the inmates and visitors shaking hands, I knew that warm friendship and a feeling of mutual understanding had replaced the curiosity each group had felt for the other upon initial introduction. One of my skeptics chose this opportunity to assure me our prison AA chapter would be a complete success. And why not, he asked. There are no corner saloons or blinking neon bar signs to entice the boys away from their good intentions. I was forced to agree that in spite of San Quentin's 10,000 or more bars, to my knowledge at least, there wasn't a drop to drink in the house. But I went ahead and tried to explain that we did not look upon AA as an organization to induce men away from the physical act of drinking. Rather, that the purpose of AA in prison would be to aid the man in developing understanding of his problem. What caused him to drink, why he must stop, and how alcohol had contributed to his failure. Once he had decided these factors, he would be in a position to refrain from making the same mistake again. We look upon AA as a crutch where the drinker, detoured into prison, can go to find assistance, new friends, and a new faith in himself and in others. Skeptics have long since ceased to question the program. When our meetings were first supervised by a group of prison guards, today there was one official who remained with the group, usually outside of the hall at the meeting, and he's not there as a custody or a safety factor, but to tend to the needs of our visitors. More than 300 inmates attend these San Quentin AA meetings, with as many as 100 visitors, men and women from the outside world. AA chapter members with their wives or husbands, accompanying the individual who has been helped by faithful attendance at the meeting in their own community. Several thousand members, and 8 years later, we know our original convictions of the values of AA chapter inside the prison were correct. From recent tabulation of available facts has come the startling realization that the man who takes part in the prison AA program is more than three times as likely to make a success of parole than the man who has avoided the program. That is... ladies and gentlemen, every day, and we're happy to send that word on to you. This is easy to understand. AA has discovered a system that spells doom to the alcoholic, unnatural urge to drink. It follows no certain church or any particular religion. It is for the alcoholic, any alcoholic, regardless of his faith, color, or creed. Whether he was once a banker, a lawyer, laborer, or a skid row bum, if he is sincere in his desire for help, AA will go all out for him to point out his road to sobriety, and that's the way we handle it in prison as well. The program is presented in a humble and human manner, without high pressure, thrills, or fantasies. And this is the approach necessary to reach the man who has developed a highly suspicious nature. Him in a simple, easily understood manner to rid himself of all hate, jealousies, and suspicion. It helps him to face truth and reality without self-pity or the dodging of responsibility. AA serves a good not only teaches a man to abstain from harmful drinking, and by following the precepts of the program while in prison, the inmate develops the will and understanding to lead a satisfying existence in the world which begins just outside the prison gate. We at San Quentin have come to believe that regardless of a man's current status, if he's one who has reached the point where he can't control his drinking, Alcoholics Anonymous can and will help him. AA has proved to many times that it is the key which, in the hands of the alcoholic, can again open for him the door of normal thought and aspiration. Interested persons often ask me if our inmate members follow through in the AA program after they leave prison. The answer to this question can only be given by any member of our institution staff whose duties include the presentation of talks concerning the prison program before outside clubs and organizations. Quite often we are requested to speak before AA chapters. Seldom do we attend one of these meetings without finding at least one former San Quentin inmate taking an active part in the program. These men seldom violate their paroles or commit another crime which sends them back to prison. They are not prone to lose their jobs as a result of absenteeism or laxity. Mrs. Duffy and I were down in Southern California, San Francisco, New York, on our vacation. Now we're here in Cleveland. While in these cities, we've been attending to a little personal business as well. Many, many inmates have come up to us and have proudly said, "You remember me, don't you, Warden? You remember when I was up at San Quentin? Say, how you doing now, Bill, Joe, Chuck? I'd like to have you meet my wife, my mother, my kids. I'll pull out a business card, show it to you. Proud of the fact that they are working now with so-and-so and have made a success." One fellow down in Los Angeles just a couple of weeks ago said to me, "Said, you know what a kind of a guy I was in San Quentin, Warden. You knew that I had one of the worst first-degree robbery, and that's robbery with a gun record, in the history of the place. And I did a long time, 7 solid years. Said, I didn't get along too well at first in prison. I went out finally. I was a drunkard before I went out. I was an AA member in prison. He says, I fell in love when I got out. And you know," he said, "I was scared to death to tell my sweetheart that I'd done time. I worried about it. I lost pounds. What should I do?" He said, "Finally, I knew that she'd find out anyhow. So," he said, "I sat down with her, and for a half an hour, I went over my whole life. I told her the complete story." I said, "Chuck, what did she say?" She was standing right over there talking to Mrs. Duffy. She said, "That's exactly what I wanted to tell you." She said, "Warden," she said to me, "it takes a big man to tell me that." Then we were married. AA, he said, did it for me in prison. I haven't had a drink since I left. Those are the things that really pay dividends. Interested persons often ask me if our inmate members follow through with the AA program when they leave the prison. The answer to this question can be given by any member of our staff who talks before groups on the outside, as I've told you. This in itself is compensation enough for the effort we extended in making the dream of AA participation a reality in our prison. Also, we received letters from former members now living in other parts of the world, telling us of the active part they have taken in local AA work. Some have even been instrumental in establishing new chapters. I have received hundreds of these letters each year. I have one here which I received recently from a former inmate now residing in Canada. And there's some of the members from Canada here today that brought me even letters and greetings from Bill. And Bill's letter is here, and I'm going to read it. My dear Warden Dustin, just a brief note to say hello again and to tell you how we're getting along in this country of ours, and to know that I'm doing swell. I've had my first promotion from the company which employed me, and though it necessitated my moving to this small town, it has its compensations and a bit more pay and a better opportunity to save. You'll be happy to know that efforts to start a group of AAs in the British Columbia Penitentiary at New Westminster have been successful, and the first meeting was held there last month. The material you sent from San Quentin was a big help to the Vancouver AAs in getting the group underway. It is the first prison group in Canada, and I know from my own experience that will do a lot of good. The Vancouver AAs are a great bunch of people. My present job is the result of their helping hand, and I could never let them down. I have been sober now for more than 3 years, but my time in San Quentin helped me to get hold of my shoestring and haul myself up to the stature of a man. I remember so well the words you spoke to me the morning I left. You told me that you knew I would not be back. When the temptation to go wrong strikes me, I remember your words, and the will to resist is mine. AA in prison did something great for me, brought me into a new land of good thinking. I can't live in this new land as I did in the old, and the new way of life is paying dividends. You may be interested to know, Warden, that I have started an AA group here in this small town where I now live. We're only 7 members strong at present, but we are sober and nothing else can matter. Cordially yours, Bill. That is what I mean, ladies and gentlemen, when I tell you AA in prison does work. We are reaping a harvest of success stories, which more than repay us for the seeds we have sown. The weeds that have had to be cut from around the growing plants and the nurturing necessary to make them reach maturity. In the 15 years since Alcoholics Anonymous started, your organization as a whole has accomplished the miracle of turning wine into water for many thousands of sick persons. The San Quentin AA has made it possible for us to accomplish the miracles of salvaging human wrecks from the sea of life and turning them back into men. Another very heartwarming story for those of us who have watched the program grow in a story of men who left San Quentin to face the world alone and found unexpected friendship and understanding waiting for him at the front gate. The all-important book of life crowds many events into the pages between the cover of birth and death. Among these, we who are connected with phrenology believe that for sheer emotional drama, the story of the man leaving prison ranks high. For the prisoner walking out through the ominous portals of the last for the last time, happiness stems not only from the exhilarating sense of freedom, but also from the renewed opportunity to share that freedom with those he loves, those from whom he has been separated so long. When the gates swing shut behind him and he can again take those loved ones into his arms, freedom becomes a tangible reality. The man who walks out into the world again without the welcome of friends or family has no one thing to prove his liberty to him. There is nothing to which he can hold and say, this is freedom. And perhaps in the bewilderment, the lost hours that follow while he searches for that tangibility, he may wander again off into a wrong road. The following story told me by an outside AA member who is a regular visitor at our San Quentin meetings is a story about a paroled inmate who faced the world under the above adverse condition. The visitor told me of the day he and his wife stood outside our front prison gate and were privileged to witness faith reborn. My wife is not an alcoholic, the visitor explained to me, relating the story, but she is the wife of an alcoholic, And together we had come to San Quentin to meet one who, in the eyes of the law, had paid his debt to society and was once again to be free. As this inmate, we'll call him Tom, came down the walk, accompanied by other fortunate men who were being released that day, he didn't expect to be met by anyone he knew. The others had relatives and friends to meet them, but Tom was alone. Tom had been directed to the inmate group of alcoholics upon entering prison. We had met him under rather difficult circumstances on various trips when we had made to the prison to attend meetings of the AA group. But Tom, like many others of the San Quentin group, had a little feeling that a good deal of the friendship we often mentioned during our talks would have a little different tinge to it when the man stepped outside. Tom spotted me and my wife in the crowd outside the gate. In that moment, all his faith in mankind was restored. Alcoholics Anonymous did work, as far as he was concerned, and as the day went along, his faith grew. He got that mold of milk he had waited and wanted for so much for so long. He visited the AA Club in San Francisco and made more new friends. He met people, AA members, who accepted him as Tom, the man, not Tom, the ex-convict. Tom's story is probably not unfamiliar to those of you who know alcoholics. The drunken spree, no money, and the need for drinks and more money, drunken oblivion and jail. Many alcoholics have experienced this. Many have done the same thing that Tom did to get more drinks. But not all have had to pay the legal price exacted from him. Tom isn't through paying, not yet. But thanks to his new way of life, the paying will not be so hard. This visitor who aided Tom told me that as a result of the incident, he had learned there was a lot more to AA than just sobriety. My day with my wife and Tom, he said, opened my eyes to the depths of this program. Tom was not the only one to benefit by the occasion. I also profited. The experience showed me the significant part AA has played in this growth of the shriveled little selfish soul that was mine before sobriety and the fellowship began their work. It's nice to know that at the end of the day, that for 24 hours at least, the world was just a little better, and that someone is just a little happier by your having been here. That's an outlook on life I and other sensible thinking persons can understand, that the alcoholic can understand. And that is why Alcoholics Anonymous has mushroomed into the great success that it is. How can you go wrong when people like that are working with you? The job of a prison administrator is not an easy one. We are expected and we are asked to change antisocial behavior into social acceptance patterns. And we are required to do the job in a prison setting that is too often restricted and unnatural. We realized this when we first set up our program of AA in prison. And as a result, we found the program on a basic platform of three important components which would make the inmate feel that it was their program and that they belong. First, I was firmly convinced that through experience with AA, there would grow a continually stronger belief in its work. Therefore, the prison staff would be friendly and open-minded in its approach to AA at all times. Second, regular outside AA members must be permitted to participate in the program. These men and women would serve as leaders in the discussions of the 12 steps and other aspects of AA. They would offer to our prison members a constant reminder of the effectiveness of AA in their own lives, as well as a demonstration of the selfishness of the organization's philosophy. In addition, they would enable the institution staff to understand AA by acting as liaison persons between the new chapter members and the staff. The outside would be the backbone of our chapter. Third, the program was to be for the benefit of the inmates. Therefore, it would be operated by the inmates themselves, with the barest minimum of staff supervision. Institution sponsorship of the chapter would be limited to one well-qualified and interested staff member. In San Quentin, our institutional parole officer acts as sponsor to the chapter. The parole officer was chosen because he is vitally concerned with preparing the prisoners for release. It is his duty to help the inmate find a job, brief him on the rules of parole, and in general, help the man become reestablished in his community. Another very important item was the selection of an inmate steering committee and chapter secretary. These men were chosen by vote of the membership. I try to meet with the steering committee when they make plans and preparations for their weekly meeting. My capacity in this instance is to make arrangements to see that their recommendations are carried out. The inmate secretary handles all correspondence for the chapter, subject to the approval of the sponsor. At San Quentin, we hold regular meetings each Sunday from 12 to 2. We depend upon the AA groups of five adjacent areas to supply us with discussion leaders. The more informal the meetings can be conducted, the better for all concerned. By being permitted to ask questions, make suggestions, or discuss any point of the program, the new member soon realizes that the program is truly his own. In addition to our regular Sunday meeting, we hold quarterly meetings, which is attended by approximately 100 men and women guests from the outside. And those meetings are really well attended and appreciated. Probably the most interesting speaker we have ever had at one of these outside meetings was a former San Quentin inmate. This man had been an AA while in prison, and upon being paroled, continued with the program outside. And ladies and gentlemen, I think it's a good thing in our institutions if you can invite men who have gone through the mill back into your institutions, who have made a success in the program, in and talk to the men. In the period between his parole release and his reappearance at San Quentin as a guest speaker, this fellow had enjoyed considerable business success and has earned a position of respect in his community. His talk was sincere. It was well received by the men. Some of our women visitors have proven to be splendid speakers. They, of course, as well, are alcoholics, and they give a real message to the men. The inmate who has been active with AA in prison is given every opportunity to continue the program following his release. We ask our parole officer on the outside if he would continue the contact with the AA chapter in the community in which the man is going to be paroled. Make the contact quietly and with the prisoner. I am very proud to tell you that in 8 years' experience with AA San Quentin, we have never had an incident of misconduct or rules violation within any of our chapter meetings. Even in our in-service training program for our correctional officers, our guards, we have an AA chapter, a chapter on alcoholism and what AA does to help the man in prison to get hold of himself. I do not wish to give you the impression that we have not had many mistakes in prison. We have. At first, we thought that by giving men diplomas that they were going to hang on to them as graduates from AA. We found that that didn't work, that the men are never released from their AA program. Another mistake we made was attempt to withhold AA from some men who we did not seem to recognize. eventually eliminated that, and if he does seem to be an alcoholic, wants to get hold of that problem, he can come in, and we hope that he remains a sincere member. We are now satisfied to point out to the new inmate that AA is open to all on a strictly voluntary basis. We encourage the alcoholic to investigate the AA program. We counsel him, and in recent months it has been noted at our institution that the age of those attending AA has dropped to a much younger age. Beginning, our members, for the most part, were middle-aged. Now we have a considerable number in their early 20s bracket. It is my hope that our experience with AA in prisons throughout the country will continue to encourage other prisons in their efforts to reform chapters within their reformatories, prisons, and jails. Too often the alcoholic becomes our police court problem again and again without receiving help. Many of them have been before the court for time and beyond number as the common drunk. And if we can get into our AA thoughts, into the police court, reformatories, jail, probation, I think we're going to do better job in seeing that more men are helped before they get to the prison atmosphere and that they have gone so far down the ladder. Through the combined efforts of AA and other alcoholic organizations and medical science, the public is grudgingly beginning to admit that the alcoholic is a sick person. I think that all of us agree the alcoholic is definitely a sick person, but he has to be helped as a man who is in need of treatment, and prison generally is not the answer. Through the research method of trial and error by combing thousands of case histories and through the assistance of modern medical and science research, you have come to believe the alcoholic is a sick person as well. In your program, you take the alcoholic, give him the right answers, and guide him along the road to sobriety, to medical and mental rehabilitation. Through similar methods of research and assistance, phenologists have come to know that punishment alone is not enough treatment for the criminal offender. So we too have set up a program of rehabilitation. We give the man educational, vocational training. We give him medical and psychiatric treatment, help him to solve his problem and to discover the underlying circumstances that led to his failure. When all this has been done, from the very best of our ability, our work is finished. From then on, it is up to society to accept him as rehabilitated and give him another chance to prove himself. If society does not accept him in this light, our work and our time and our effort has been wasted. Our program of rehabilitation then has failed if society does not accept the things, including AA in prison, that are done for the individual. Less than 15 years ago, San Quentin Prison was known as a rough, tough hellhole, where many prisoners sat idle in the big yard and did their time the easy way. Someone handed me a note one day in prison, and it was somewhat of the prison atmosphere in the early days. Within these walls, the days unwind and roll one into another, like a drab ribbon, each one as colorless as the day before and the day to come. There are no yesterdays worth remembering, no todays worth living, no tomorrows worth anticipating. I wish the man who wrote those lines would visit San Quentin today, or any prison where a rehabilitation program where AA is in effect. Among the 5,000 population, you would see hundreds of faces that have mirrors of hope. For these men are taking advantage of the care and treatment program in prison. They are gaining an education and learning a trade. that today is a worth living, for as they make their time serve them to the fullest advantage. Alcoholics Anonymous, too, is giving men a new lease on life in the same program in prison. I would like to close, you AA members, by leaving with you this thought. You members of Alcoholics Anonymous and we of San Quentin are in the same basic business, the business of mending broken human lives. Our objectives are the same, to convince the public of our need for their help. We ask understanding of our work, assistance in the job we have to do, and tolerance for the finished product we in AA, outside, in prison, or in prison work, produce. I would like to leave with you a simple little poem which aptly expresses our mutual desire. It's a poem that voices a plea you offer as a humble organization and I as a prison ward. Pray don't find fault with a man who limps or stumbles along the road unless you have worn the shoes he wears or struggle beneath his load. There may be tacks in his shoes that hurt, though hidden away from view, or the burden he bears placed on your back might cause you to stumble too. Don't sneer at the man who's down today unless you felt the blow that caused his fall or felt the shame that only the fallen know. You may be strong, but still the blows that were his that dealt to you in the self-same way, at the self-same time, might cause you to stagger too. Don't be too harsh with a man who sins, or pelt him with words or stones, unless you are sure, yea, doubly sure, that you have no sins of your own. For you know perhaps that the tempter's voice should whisper as strong to you as it did to him when he went astray, would cause you to falter too. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the privilege of speaking here today. And to you, members of Alcoholics Anonymous, I speak in behalf of the California Department of Corrections, myself, and the 5,000 inmates of San Quentin Prison. Thanks for the aid you have given us in our AA program, and thanks for the progress you have made towards solving one of America's greatest and most distressing problems, alcoholism.